We'll be this evening looking at 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And we'll read from 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, down through verse 13. Second Timothy 2, 8 and following. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Amen. Thus far, God's word. Remember the Alamo? Remember the Maine? Remember Pearl Harbor? And there are probably others as well that we could list of significant junctures in our nation's history where we have been called on to remember certain significant historical events. Remember the Alamo and, of course, the tragedies that took place there as you are called now to participate in this Mexican War of the 1840s. Remember the Maine, the explosion on the USS Maine as part of the Spanish-American War, fighting in Cuba. And of course, more closely to our time, although nearly now 80 years ago, remember Pearl Harbor as the nation was called to do its part in World War II. In all of these situations, remember the Alamo, remember the Maine, remember Pearl Harbor. Part of the goal was that as we looked back on a significant event and brought that to mind, that it would bring people the motivation to make the necessary sacrifices to get through the coming warfare that would engulf the nation. These are remembrances that will sustain you in tough times. Of course, as Paul is writing to Timothy, one of the themes of this book is that difficult times will come. Timothy, for you to carry on with the gospel ministry, don't expect a different life trajectory and experience than what I, the Apostle Paul, have experienced. And even more so, Paul would say, as you carry on the gospel ministry, don't expect a different life experience than the one who is the good news himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. If Christ suffered, that you also, in being conformed to his image and likeness, you will suffer as well. And as those times of difficulty come, as those challenges come in your life, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ, verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. And the call for you and for me this evening is very simply that we are to remember Jesus Christ as you face the challenges of your life. Remember Jesus Christ in the face of your life's challenges. God's called each one of us. If we are in Christ, we will suffer. We will face difficulties. We will need to endure, as this passage will make clear to us. And how are we to be sustained in those difficult times? Well, we are to be sustained by remembering Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ in the face of your life's challenges. Now, where the passage begins very clearly, and the imperative of these verses, verse 8, is remember. Remember Jesus Christ. And of course, that might seem obvious, right? That as believers in Christ, as followers of Jesus, that it would be crucial for us to remember Jesus Christ. And yet we've just sung Psalm 106, and we once again in Psalm 106 find that unfortunately, while we wish that we could recount and that we could read and meditate on the stories of Israel and think about how they are very different than we are, we actually in Psalm 106 are reminded that Israel had the same temptations and difficulties that we have, that we face, that God would deliver them, that God brought these miraculous things, these occurrences, bringing them out of Egypt, bringing them through the Red Sea, bringing food to them, and again, how that last stanza began, they forgot. They failed to remember. They soon forgot God's wondrous works, and how quickly and how easy it is for us to forget. And so Paul urges us here to remember Jesus Christ. Now, it's interesting, those of you who were here this morning, you, I'm sure, will remember that we were called in this morning's message at one significant point that we are to be a people who remembers, right? And Micah calls the people to remember. What were they to remember? Well, they there in Micah recounts some of these same points that we've just talked about. God's deliverance out of slavery, God's provision of Moses and Aaron and Miriam, those who would lead them, those who would mediate on their behalf. The third thing there in Micah was they were to remember how God had taken the plots of Balak against them and hiring Balaam and turned those plots, those curses, into actually blessing. And that's going to factor in this passage as well. And then fourthly, Ian talked about how God brought them through from one side of the Jordan to the other, bringing them into the promised land. Remember, remember, remember. And those remembrances, Pastor Wise pointed out to us, are not just to be what? Not just to be, oh, I know that Indiana became a state. I can remember that Indiana became a state in 1816. But the remembrances of the scripture to be life-transforming realities. And certainly that goes for what Paul is saying here. Remember Jesus Christ. Now, what are we told here to remember about Jesus Christ in particular? Well, in particular, we are told to remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David. Paul points us to the life that is in Jesus Christ, the victory that is his, and the ascension that is his as he now rules and reigns as our king. But notice how he frames the victory over death, how he frames Christ's rule and reign, his ascension. It's against the backdrop of the difficulties that Christ endured, is it not? Look at verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, descendant of David. He's talking about the fact that Christ came in the flesh, right? He is a descendant of David, and he's even highlighting, as we think about the kingly line that came through David down to Christ, we can think about the many times in Israel's history where that very line was so fragile, where it was on the line, where Athaliah killed the sons, the seed of David, down to one last little child who was hidden away to be preserved by the Lord, descendant of David. Jesus came in the flesh and he went through the difficulties of this life before assuming his kingly throne and ascending on high. He passed through the portal of death before being raised up in life and in victory. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David. And we are being called here to remember. Remember that you and I have a living king. A living king who faced trouble, who faced death on our behalf. And consequently, we know that this living king can identify with me, that he can help me, and that he has actually entrusted this message of his glorious reign to clay pots to carry this gospel message forward. See, in verse 8, there's almost these three parallels, if you will, Jesus Christ risen from the dead, so risen out of death, descendant of David, right, made in the flesh, even while being the victorious king, and then according to my gospel. Paul is just kind of baffled and amazed that God would entrust this good news to someone like me and to someone like you, Timothy. So consequently, remember Jesus Christ. Paul's now going to go on to tell us three life situations, three difficulties that can come up in life against which and in the midst of which we need to remember Jesus Christ. The first of those is when you are struggling with, why is life difficult? Why is life hard? Remember Jesus Christ to frame your hardships. Remember Jesus Christ as the frame through which you interpret and understand your hardships. Verse 9, remember Jesus Christ according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal, but the word of God is not imprisoned. Paul says here, I suffer hardship for the name of Christ. I suffer hardship on account of Christ. And of course, Paul's list of hardships is impressive. All those times beaten and stoned and shipwrecked. And in 2 Timothy, the emphasis is not nearly so much on the physical hardship, even though he's in prison as he writes. It's much more on the relational hardships. In the four chapters, I think at least three of them list people who have turned their backs on Paul, people who have deserted him, people who have let him down, and the heartache of that would have gone along with that for Paul. I suffer hardship. But it's as I suffer hardship that I can interpret that hardship, he would say, through remembering Jesus Christ. Because the hardships I endure all have a connection to the gospel, have a connection to my calling in Christ. And we might not think about it as regularly as we should, but in each of your and my heartaches and hardships, if you're in Jesus Christ, there is meaning to those hardships, to those heartaches, because of Jesus Christ. For each of you, your hardships have meaning because you are connected to the gospel. Hardships that you endure because God is sanctifying you. And often we can look at heartaches in our life and we can say, God's brought difficulty, but he's cutting away the unfruitful branches of my life, John 15. He's pointing out to me that the things that I love in this world are not things that ultimately will bring me happiness, that ultimately can sustain me. Hardships that tied to sanctification. There are also hardships that have to do with suffering in order to serve. Right? There are hardships that we sign up for, hardships that we embrace, that we say, God has called me to this so that I might be a blessing to others around me, so that I might serve them. And then thirdly, we could say that there are hardships that we endure because of the needs of those who are lost, suffering to evangelize. And whatever your particular sufferings are tonight, whatever the hardships of your life, and for many of you, there's quite a list, right? There are relational hardships, places where we feel alienated from people because of our love for Christ, where we feel disappointed by people who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. There are hardships that you've embraced because you say, my life calling is to serve Christ. And that means serving other people and dealing with their problems and loving them through the midst of those struggles and persecution itself. And in all of these hardships, Paul is calling us to remember Jesus Christ. Remember that God is working his purposes and even working gospel purposes in the midst of those hardships. Hardships do not block God from accomplishing what he sets out to do. And verse 9 makes that clear. I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. The Romans think that they can stop the spread of the gospel. They think that they can build a giant dam that will hold back the power of God. And Paul says, ridiculous. They can do whatever they want to me. I can endure all sorts of hardships. All sorts of things can be inflicted, but it doesn't stop God from accomplishing his purposes. The word of God is not bound. And the cross itself proclaims that, doesn't it? That Satan himself can seek to do his worst to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel advances on in spite of that opposition. And the spread of the gospel through world history tells us exactly that that is the case. And so the reality is, as we think about, why do hard times come into my life? Why am I dealing with hardship? Well, those hardships may slow us down. They can certainly discourage us. They can certainly send us to our knees saying, God, I just don't get it here at all. But God isn't perplexed. God isn't set back at all. And Paul is telling you and me, in the midst of your heartaches, in the midst of the hardships that you are enduring right now, remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ, because he, through his life, through his experience, will give you the assurance that these hardships cannot stop the purposes of God. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David. Remember Jesus Christ in order to frame the hardships of your life. Second struggle that we can have in life is the struggle of, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And that can take a number of different angles for us. For some of us, that can be going through crises in life about what am I supposed to be doing with my life? I have these certain gifts, I have these certain passions, but it doesn't all seem to fit nicely into a certain career. It doesn't all seem to fit nicely into a package of how I get from the age of 16 to the age of 65. Like, I just don't see how it all fits together. That can be a particular type of hardship. What am I doing here? I think as believers in Christ, all of us should have times where we struggle with, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Why am I still here? I would rather be in heaven. I'd rather be with the Lord. Take me to be with you. Why am I here? And to that, Paul would say, remember Jesus Christ. When you're struggling with your life purpose, remember Jesus Christ in order to find your purpose in the course of this life. Verse 10, for this reason, for the reason of the gospel, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. Now, Paul, of course, is writing here from his particular context, from his particular life calling as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, as I remember Jesus Christ, for this reason, I endure all things. My life is centered and focused around proclaiming this good news to those who are the elect, to those who are chosen by God, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. So that's Paul's life calling. It's his purpose. And on some level, we all need to say that God has left me here. Why hasn't God taken me to be with him in heaven? Well, God's left me here to be a testimony to his grace, to be one who would call people out of darkness into his marvelous light. But I think we can say a little more broadly for us, we can take the principle here of what Paul is talking about, and we can say that all of us are called to a life in which we endure, in which we, verse 11, die with him, dying daily to sin, dying to live for Christ in the various places where God's put us. In other words, that our existence, whether your calling is to be a plumber, whether your calling is to be a Christian retiree, whether your calling is to be a Christian child at the Oaks Academy or to study hard in your home school, that your calling in Jesus Christ is to endure and to die along with Christ in order that you might put off the old man and put on the new man and serve him. Think about that. Remember Jesus Christ. And as we think about Christ's purpose and life, a life where he lived in order to lay down his life, a life lived in service, that then should shape our lives into lives of service, lives of seeking to please the Lord. Now, why then, why is endurance needed? Why is death needed if you and I are going to do that? Death and service are needed because whatever it is that God is calling you to vocationally, and whatever it is that God is calling you to spiritually, we know that those callings will have to do with taking on the effects of sin in the world, dealing with the effects of the fall in the world. You might say, well, that's easy for you to say, preacher. Your job is to talk about sin all the time and to help convince people that sin is a problem in the world. Okay, fine. But if the fall hadn't occurred, there's no need for any of the medical personnel in this congregation. If the fall didn't occur, there's no need for chemistry research in the world in order to produce the drugs to help make people well. There's no need for people to work in the food service industry because we just go out and pick another apple or another piece of fruit off the tree and we are ready to go with our dinner. All of our vocational callings have to do with the fact that sin has made life hard and has made life painful. But as we do those callings, we're to remember Jesus Christ and to remember that Jesus Christ came and died and that he endured and died, and that that same reality will shape our existence. Let me put this a different way. For those of you who are in the years of life where you are starting to think about or wrestling with, what am I supposed to do with my life? What kind of work does God want me to pursue? It is not to be your motivation. I hope I can find the easiest job that pays the most money and will make my life the most pleasant and free from trouble. Because if we remember Jesus Christ and remember our call to endure, then our life purpose will actually be found in challenging service that changes the world, that impacts the world for Christ, that takes on sin and its effects in the world in the most direct way possible, using the gifts that God's given me, right? I can look at the gifts God's given me and say, where am I best equipped? Where am I best? Where have I been created by God to take on these difficulties in the world? Remembering Jesus Christ then means for you and me not that vocationally we pursue a life of ease and pleasure, but instead, like the Apostle Paul, that we endure all things because of the saving work that Christ is doing in this world. Because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. All right, two challenges that we have covered thus far. Remember Jesus Christ as you face hardships in life. Remember Jesus Christ as you seek to find your life purpose. Why am I still here? And that, why am I here? And that may be something you're struggling with because you're 98 years old and you say, I just want to go and be out of here. Why am I still here? I'm still here to endure for the sake of the elect. I'm still here to endure because God wants me praying and living my life and running through the finish line for him. And you might be 2 years old and saying, why am I here? God has you here to serve and to endure for his name's sake. Why is my life hard? What am I doing here? Remember Jesus Christ. And then the third question and difficult question that Paul deals with here is the question of, where am I going? His answer would be, remember Jesus Christ when you are pondering your eternal destiny. Remember Jesus Christ when you are pondering your eternal destiny. We see this in these last three verses. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Paul says, as we think about where we are headed, that the life and the trajectory of Christ, that his death and resurrection, his humanity and ascension on high as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, should shape our life, our trajectory, our understanding of where we are going. And that comes out in the text by the fact that if we endure, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. Paul's saying that our eternity is shaped by our union or lack thereof with the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, if we find our existence here and now tied up with him, then we have every expectation that our eternal existence will be tied up with him. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. But notice he also says, if we deny him, he also will deny us. Paul says, as you ponder your eternity, as you think about what happens to me after death, that for all of us, there's a call to remember Christ, that there's a responsibility to think about Christ. And we might ponder our life here, and we might ponder our eternity apart from Christ and say, oh, he's not really worth it. He's not that important. But what's he say? If we deny him, he also will deny us. And it's a terrible thing, a terrible reality, that instead of remember Jesus Christ, instead of remembering Christ, that there are billions in this world who are making decisions about eternity without considering the impact of Jesus on their eternity at all. Forgetting him, how soon even people who have heard the name, who have been taught about Jesus, like we sang in Psalm 106, just forget about him and go on their way. But there's that horrific scene in the early chapters of Revelation, isn't there? Where people who lived life forgetting about Jesus Christ, who lived life wanting to put him out of their mind instead of bringing him to mind, remembering him, living their life within the framework of who he is, said, no, I'd rather forget him. And what happens to them? As Jesus returns, they say, let the mountains fall on us. We would rather be crushed under a mountain than have to look the Lamb in the eye. And they won't have that option, will they? And friends, it's so important that as you ponder your eternity, that you don't just say, well, death is the gateway to happiness forever. Because it's not for everyone. Remember Jesus Christ as you ponder your eternity. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And that brings us to verse 13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. I can tell you that I don't remember in all the sermons I've preached coming across a verse quite like verse 13. And what I mean by that is, I went into the week thinking I knew what verse 13 meant and went to study and found that there are two very different camps when it comes to verse 13. There is a camp that reads verse 13 as, if we are unbelievers, God will remain faithful. He will not deny his announced plan of salvation. There is another camp that would say, if we lack faith, if believers go through times where we are struggling with faith, that God will still remain faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, let's review a few things here. In the camp of, if we are unbelievers, God will still keep his word and uphold his character, let me give you some names who fall into that camp. John Calvin, Matthew Henry, Patrick Fairbairn, John Stott, John MacArthur. Big names, heavy hitters. And they are going to argue, and somewhat convincingly, that what we have here are four lines, if you will, of a poem, of an early creed, and that as we often see in the Psalms, right, there's parallelism. Line 1 and 2 are parallel. Line 3 and 4 are parallel. They are also going to argue from this Greek word here for faithless. It's actually the Greek word for faith with the alpha on the front, with an A on the front. You're used to this in our own language with words like amoral, right? And, you know, where the alpha, the A on the front means not. And you know how this word is used in the rest of the New Testament? It's not really used to talk about believers. Romans 3:3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? 1 Peter 2:7, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected has become the very cornerstone. All right, that's one position. Second position, taken by people, many of whom you probably are not that familiar with, Mounts, Knight, Brown, Hughes, would say that what we have here is a creed, and that the early church would have wanted a creed to end on a high note, on an encouraging note. They would also say that the place in this sentence of the faithfulness of God, that that's the emphasis, and that when the scripture emphasizes God's faithfulness, it's God's faithfulness to redeem, to save, to offer his chesed to us, his covenant love. And then also they would argue that it's clearer grammatically, that the language is more awkward if we understand this as talking about unbelievers and God's willingness to stand by his promises in sending unbelievers to hell. They would say, no, the grammar is more clear if we understand this in light of believers. Like I said, I don't really remember a passage with two such diametrically opposed positions. Let me add one more complicating thing or encouragement maybe to you. Whichever way you decide to go, you're not a heretic. There are really good people who agree with you. And furthermore, we can take a lot of comfort in the fact that those two biblical doctrines don't hang on this text, right? Is it true that those who persist in unbelief, that God will uphold his word and will judge them and punish them eternally? Yes, it is true. Is it true that when you and I are lacking in faith, that God remains faithful and upholds us and keeps his covenant promises to us? Yes, it is. And the very last commentary I looked at, in fact, the last one I had to look at, was Matthew Poole. Matthew Poole wrote a few, he was alive overlapping with Matthew Henry, but he was born first by about 30 or 40 years. Matthew Poole has a great three-volume commentary on the scripture, and he writes on this passage, whether we believe or believe not, or whether we be faithful to our trust or be not, yet God will show himself faithful, either in his promises made to them that believe, or to his threatenings denounced against those that believe not. For it is impossible that he who is truth itself should be otherwise. And really, in a sense, that brings us back to the thrust of these verses, doesn't it? That ultimately God's purposes stand, that they will stand. And that's why we remember Jesus Christ. Because when the world that I'm living in, when the struggles that I'm having yell at me, you're on the losing side. This isn't, this whole Christianity thing, it must be a mistake. Don't serve. Service never pays off. Just look out for yourself. And when we're in the midst of those struggles and crises, and what I mean by that is when on Wednesday morning it's time to mop the floor, and you don't really want to mop the floor. And why am I stuck mopping the floor? This family's not that great, and the kids are going to spill stuff on this floor again anyway. Let's forget it. On Thursday, when you say, why am I stuck doing math homework? I don't really care about math that much. It's not that intriguing, and I'm probably not going to use it. I could be happier without math in my life. When you're struggling with, why did I get dumped? This doesn't feel very good. Feels like my life is over, like my life is a ruin. And fill in the blank for what you are going to face this week. The answer is, remember. Remember, remember Jesus Christ. Because God's purposes for you and for me will stand. And he will not deny his own. He will not deny himself. And if you're in Christ, then you are with him. and you are his forever and ever. The Heidelberg Catechism begins with those beautiful words, right? What is your only comfort in life and in death? What's your comfort? That I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't know what your particular challenges are tonight. But what I know is that there's not a person here whose list is empty. And what's to be our response to those challenges, those heartaches? To remember Jesus Christ. To remember a Savior who even death and DNA, bearing our humanity, the enmity of all, could not stop God's purposes from being accomplished in him and through him. And as you and I face challenges, remember that Christ endured challenges, but that those challenges aren't the end of the story, because he is alive and he is reigning. And if we endure with him, by his grace, we also will reign with him forever and ever. Amen. What a great Savior. Don't be overwhelmed, people of God, with your challenges, but allow the person of Christ to bring clarity and encouragement and definition in the midst even of those challenges that you face this week. Amen. Our great God in heaven, we confess that we are prone to forgetfulness, that it's easy for us to lose sight of who you are, and it's very easy for us to lose sight of the trajectory of the life of Christ, that suffering and heartache preceded life and exaltation. Make us a willing people, willing to follow in the path of Christ, willing to pursue him, willing to trust you, Father, to work out your purposes in us. And we do ask, Lord, that you would use our suffering and heartache to bring people to Christ, to sanctify us, and to bring meaningful service into this world that you have made. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.